What up, y'all? Leroy Barber, and this is Why It Matters. Why It Matters is a podcast that just answers a simple question that comes to us from so many different angles. Why it matters. And so this podcast is dedicated to that. Shout out to our producer, Andrew Morgan, who helps the show go. And look, today I'm sitting here in Southeast Portland, about a mile from my house. There's a local baseball league, professional baseball league, that has a contract with MLB and does an incredible job drawing local community to summer baseball. So I've loved it. The Portland Pickles is something that's growing on me that I am supporting big time. And why are we here is because they are partnering this week with the Voices Project for Juneteenth celebrations. So not only are we gonna have neighborhood celebrations around here, y'all, we're gonna be at a game 7 o'clock on June 19th, where they'll be honoring local leaders, there will be supporting Black businesses, there will be vendors that evening, and also half of the ticket prices from a link that you'll see you'll see connected here will go to the Voices Project. So really cool. Really nice. So that leads us to our question for tonight, right? Today is, why does Juneteenth matter? Good question. Thanks for asking it. So here's the deal. Many of you already know, in 1863, it is the date of the Emancipation Proclamation, and Abraham Lincoln declared an end to slavery. Now, that is seen as the day in which slavery ended, but I like to say that was the day in which the end of slavery began and it was announced. It wasn't until June 19, 1865, 2 years later, and that's what is now celebrated as Juneteenth. It took 2 years for the word to get out to everyone that slavery was over. And Galveston, Texas, is the place that's credited to being that spot where the last word happened. So. And so some of you still might go, why does that matter? Because slavery, June 19th, 1865, is the celebration of the actual end of slavery, because that's when mostly everybody knew and it was announced everywhere. And we say everybody, we mean those who were enslaved. That word got to everybody. So Juneteenth has become a big celebration. As you know, it's become a national holiday now and those kinds of things. I want to talk a little bit about the underlying tone of why this celebration matters, and what are some themes that come out of that. So we know that because something is announced or proclaimed doesn't mean that it hits the ground, right? So slavery, 1863, big announcement by the President of the United States, giant announcement, right? But it doesn't get to everybody until 2 years later. So it's not fully practiced or understood, right? Or engaged for many until 2 years later. And we know that is the reality of many things. Big announcements, oh, we're gonna end this, or we're gonna solve this, or we're gonna put some accountability on the police here, or whatever those things are. We know because it's announced doesn't mean it's gonna work out practically. So law announcements and practice justice are far apart, right? An announcement of a law, an announcement of a new way of doing things, an announcement of a shift towards justice and more just things doesn't mean that is practiced. The justice of practice is far apart from an announcement. I think we know that and see that deeply around Juneteenth. So declarations, here's another way of putting it. Declarations and deliverables are completely different, right? Declarations, right, call for a group of people who to announce something, and it may be smaller than the actual deliverable, right? Even though there's work put in to get something declared, right? There's folks working behind the scenes for justice. There's folks lobbying, folks going to visit their Congress folks. There's people in the streets picketing. All that happens that leads to a declaration. But even as the declaration is made, the deliverable to complete the work of justice is still down the road. And we know that. Right? Here's another example. So slavery was declared ended in 1863, right? After that, we see Reconstruction, right? And in Reconstruction, we start to see, right? People elected to offices, Black folks, government officials, mayors in Congress, like the deliverable of full justice to everybody doesn't get completed because Jim Crow emerges. And Jim Crow emerges as a response to the justice of ending slavery. Isn't that something, right? So no, right? There's always, right, a response to justice that's unjust. Always recognize it. So there's a declaration, there some victories to move forward like Reconstruction, but then there's the unjust response that we see in Jim Crow. That happens routinely as we continue to fight for justice. And again, why Juneteenth is such a big celebration now, and why folks have seen fit to make it a national day. Voter suppression is another thing, right, that emerges out of Jim Crow, right? Okay, so now we got to figure out a way to look like everybody can vote, right? Or look like it's justice, but we can find ways to suppress that justice, right? So even out of an unjust response like Jim Crow, there's even some deeper stuff going on. Voter suppression represents an outward saying of voting is a right of everyone, with this deeper internal suppression of votes in local communities, right, and states. So remember that as we think about Juneteenth. I think justice, right, feels like a law to those who are privileged, right? Justice feels like a loss, and therefore there's a negative response sometimes, most times, to the idea of administering justice. Here's kind of another a deeper issue that I think connects to that. Because in the midst of so much injustice, in the midst of things like slavery, in the midst of things like Jim Crow, in the midst of redlining, like name the issues, right? People learn bias in those spaces, right? And we know there is a real thing called implicit bias. And a learned bias around Black people, right, is a hard thing to overcome. And so we're fighting a knee-jerk reaction, but we're also fighting and we're also learning more about implicit bias, right? And implicit bias is hard because it happens without thinking, right? It's a reaction, right? The good news is that bias can be overcome. It can be changed when we cause people to stop and think, when we ourselves stop and think it helps us overcome our bias. So at the end of the day, we can celebrate the end of slavery. We can celebrate the movements forward. We can celebrate all the progress that Black folks have made in this country. But we keep ourselves aware to the injustice that is a reaction to that, right? Contemporary, the reaction to Black Lives Matter being all lives matter, right? Even just saying, hey, we want to acknowledge Black lives and that they matter creates a reaction of all lives matter, right? So keeping ourselves with a deeper understanding that we celebrate all that has happened, but we also keep ourselves mindful of the injustice that's in the background and the bias that we must continually work against. So that's why it matters, y'all. That's my opinion on why it matters. We love folks to kind of give their own opinions, their own thoughts into this. So hit us up, message us, respond on our Facebook page, or our Instagram. Let us know. I'm Leroy Barber, and that is why it matters.